Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV. Wow, what an outstanding teaching on Judge Yourself over the last 9 weeks here on Pebbles of Truth. Now remember, if you want to get a copy of all 9 audios, please contact me at my email, charliedolph1@outlook.com. That's all one word, charliedolph1@outlook.com, which also will be shared at the end of this program. Now this week, what I'd like to start is a new teaching on unity. I promise you, my friend, if you have a desire for deep spiritual truths and deep spiritual teachings, you will find it in this teaching. And if you have the ability to open up your spirit to what the Holy Spirit would have for you, I promise you, you will learn much from this. Amen? Since the church was established in the book of Acts as the believers met house to house, breaking bread and continuing in the apostles' doctrine, as said in Acts 2:42-46, unity was present. And the Spirit of God had a free course of flow in the hearts and minds of the relatively small groups of believers. But as things began to consolidate and start to gel, the home group meetings began to look more like the religious organizations of their day, from hence they came out of. And sadly, in only a few short chapters in Acts, we find that the church, and not the home group meetings, like the 5 home group meetings that started the church in Rome, were now at odds with each other over things really not important to the functioning and flow of the Spirit of God among the people. Wow, I mean, after all, they were being crucified, they were being persecuted, they were on the run because of their faith, and now they were arguing over physical things. Wow. In Acts 6:1, we read, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, the Grecians, there arose murmuring from the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration or the care and the feeding. In a few chapters, maybe a short 2 or 3 months, the simplistic unity was gone, and never to this day has ever returned to the church. You need to think about that. Today, there is more unity in the world than there is in the church. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I have been 87 countries of the world, and I have seen the ugly face of strife and vain ambition and denominational influence and agenda-driven programs around the world. And I will tell you, my friend, it all leads to confusion in the body of Christ, in the church, rebellion in the leadership and in the people, and no unity for the Spirit of God to work. Lack of unity leads to a mistrust of the gospel message. Let me say that again. Lack of unity leads to a mistrust of the gospel message because the messengers of the gospel have no credibility with the people God has sent them to serve. For the next few weeks, I would like to take a very detailed and critical look at the word unity so we can learn what God has for us to learn. And by doing so, we will probably learn what unity is not. So every Sunday, tune in to Pebbles of Truth, and we will see what the Lord has for us. This week, we'd like to start to look at the unity of God. Separation unto man is the price one pays for unity. And the word unity always is translated oneness with God and in the real true body of Christ, and not the religious crowd you see come strolling in on Sunday mornings, or even the wackos that you see, the name it and claim it bunch you see on TV. Oh no. Unity with God is not given to us, it must be developed in us. Wow, that's so good, I'm going to say it again. Unity with God is not given to us, it must be developed in us. Things in our lives that are not of Him must be cut away. In Matthew 10:34-36, Jesus shares some troubling words to the religious folks of His day, and probably to our day too, that were quickly dismissed by the Jewish leaders. So Jesus shares, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against the father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. The Lord, my friend, yes, is the Prince of Peace. However, in order for Him to produce peace in our lives and to bring us into unity or that oneness with God, He must first apply the sword of the Spirit to our hearts through His dealing and judgments in our lives. Now, to the extent, at that same measure, we have been made one with God, to that extent, or that same measure, we will have communion with God. Not communication so much. Now, that's more prayer, and that's about others in needs, but communion with God. In a local body setting, unity is produced out from the individual communion with God. Let me say that again. In a local body setting, unity is produced out from the individual communion with God. So if the members in the local body have no unity with God, then the local body will not have unity with God. If not, the heart condition of the local body will be, and the individuals will be chaotic and strife-filled and ambitious, and pride will be present. Vainglory of the members will take preeminence in the gathering, and nothing from God will be received. But here's even a sadder point. The individual members will not even know God is not involved with the local body, thinking all the while we are blessed and we are rich and we are powerful. Boy, does that sound familiar. But in reality, God says, you are naked and poor and in need of true repentance. So here's the spiritual principle for any church or fellowship to have true, fellowship and communion with God. And each other. And they will have to endure the separation process in Matthew 10, 34 and 36. Did you know the Lord gives peace in the inner man and can at the same time upset our outward circumstances and rouse up our enemies in our flesh? True unity between believers is not produced by self-will and self-determination. True unity does not originate in man, but true unity originates in God. Solomon writes in Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house. Now, my friend, we are the house, not some building that many denominations worship. But unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And God's house, that would be us, is built through His dealing and His judgments in our life. True unity with God and with each other requires an inward work of God that many Christians will refuse to allow God to do in their lives. It is the work we allow God to do in us, to work on our character flaws, our shortcomings, our sins, our lapses of integrity, and our omissions of not totally telling the truth at times. Maybe those little white lies that we think God does not mind and turns His head to, oh no. But it is the work God can do in us. It's what God uses to build the unity in us with Him and with our brothers and our sisters, who, too, have allowed God to work in their life. It is not that God works in my life, so now I will have unity with God and with everyone else. No, my friend. You know, that is not the way that it works. Amen? We all must endure the dealings and judgment and individuals, that God has for us to produce in us that unity. It is the work of God that is the standard, the glue, the mortar, the material that God uses to fitly join us together with Him and others. In Ephesians 2:21-22, Paul tells us, and the church of Ephesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation or a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Wow. The long and the short to all of this is no work of God in our lives, my friend. No work of God in our lives. No unity with God or with others, believers in our lives. Oh, we may see them and work with them and go to church with them, but there will be no real unity with them. Again, real unity, true unity, originates not in man, but in God. And we need to allow God to work in our lives so that He can be able to build that unity in us. And that unity is what we will feed our brothers and our sisters. And as we feed our brothers and our sister the work that God has done in our life, then there will be unity in the body of Christ and that local body, and that will be spread and spread and spread. Amen. Next week we will start to look at a very interesting program that God has, and that's God's building program. Did you know God has a building program? No? Okay, tune in next week and you will discover God has a building program. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a wonderful week and God has richly blessed you through this teaching. Amen.